if there was an awakening. Thanks, guys. That song really touched me. I mean, just think about what it means for lives to be changed. Think about how important it was that your life was changed by Jesus. As we have an opportunity to bring that message. And I tell you, it's a powerful song, and it just, the heart of what we're called to do as believers. I mean, we're looking at the Trinity. We're looking at the truth of God. For what? To be transformed by the gospel, to be transformed by his truth, so that we go into community and bring the message so that others can experience what we've experienced. So others can experience going from brokenness and being lost to wholeness in Christ Jesus, even if the circumstances of life that you're in don't change. Experiencing peace and love in the midst of all that we're going through. Guys, it's good news. And let's give that message of good news. Let's give that away more and more. So as we continue in on three persons, one God, the Trinity, how does that work? The first week, we hit kind of a whole idea, but with a focus on God as three persons. And we talked about one of the best statements about the Trinitarian God of the Bible is found in 1 John 4:8, which kind of sums up what we talked about in that first week, which God is love. God is love. And this definition of God is unmatched. I love that we got to celebrate the life of Billy Graham, because one of the messages that he brought over and over and over again, every single time, was God loves you. God loves you. You are loved. And it sounds so simple, but it's not. God loves us with a perfect love. God is the definition, the example, and the source of true love. To say that God is love is to declare that God is found in Trinity and Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God experiences. Guys, think about this. God is love. In and of himself, he experiences giving and receiving love. Which means what? He didn't create us because he needed us to love him or to love us. He has perfect love in and of himself. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God. In God himself, there is a continuous outpouring of communication, love, and oneness. That's beautiful. The second week, as we looked at things, we had a focus on each person is fully God and what that means and how that affects our faith and how it's different from other faiths around us. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are equally declared in the Old and New Testament as God. It's not just in the New, but it's been the same message from beginning till now. Matthew 28:19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Each person is fully God. Jesus is repeatedly called God by himself and by others. And he does it without apology. He does it without correction. And Jesus was eventually put to death for declaring himself to be God. They said, that's blasphemous. You can't say that. And they killed him because blasphemy violated the first commandment. The scripture also declares that the Holy Spirit to be God. They speak of his divinity. He's the creator as well as God the Father and God the Son. All powerful, all knowing. And today, our focus is on there is one God. There is one God. And it's so important. God is three persons. Each person is fully God. And there is one God. Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5 say this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Guys, this week, I believe it was Monday, I was in my office and I heard these sirens going around. And they were, it was right around 4-ish. And all of a sudden I heard these sirens going and all around the church here. And they kept going. And I got this weird, and they were close. The sirens were literally going right by there, right back there, right. I heard them on all sides, and they kept going and kept going and kept going. I got up, and I have a sledgehammer by my front door for doing my, you know, anytime anybody asks me to help do anything, it usually involves a sledgehammer because I'm good at knocking things down, not building things up. So that's my one major tool of choice. That's the one that I trust. Oh, you want me to knock down a wall? I'm your guy. Right? So I take my sledgehammer from behind it, and I put it on the couch, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, now if somebody comes into the building, I can stand on the couch, have the sledgehammer ready to go, so that the... I don't know what it is, but my mind is racing. And then we hear, just right up here, I've heard multiple stories. I don't know what the full story is, but was it somebody went into a home, pistol whipped and shot her? Is she alive? Yes. Praise God. So the story I heard is that two guys went up and asked a gentleman for money, and he went in his house to get the money. They followed him in and pistol whipped and shot his wife. Thank you, Angel. Guys, that was just right up here. Our neighbor. You see, when people don't know God, when there is no God in somebody's life, when they don't know the one true God, chaos. And it becomes about what I can get for me. What I want at the, not what I need, but what I want at the moment. When we get so focused on me and mine, and our eyes get off of, you know, that kind of thinking doesn't just stay for the unbeliever. We struggle with selfishness every day, don't we? It says, you shall have no other gods before me. And yet often the one I worship is me, because I want something at the moment. I had one of those weeks this week where everywhere I went, I saw pastors that I knew. And it was, five total in 1 week of just random places, having good talks and sharing with pastors, and some very brief and some a little bit longer. And one of the things that came, became very clear throughout the week is a lot of my friends who are pastors here in this community are tired, are worn out, are just like everybody else. They've been in the battle. Guys, we need to be praying for our elders. A lot of our elders are experiencing some real challenges. And it comes with leadership. And the enemy just starts piling on. As soon as you make yourself more and more available to God, guess what? The enemy doesn't let that go. But as we, because the reason I share this is because I want us, as we talk about the Trinity, as we talk about there is one God, as we talk about who he is and what he's like. And I want us to be able to put that understanding, that theology, that knowledge, and I want us to put it into everyday life of how it affects us on the ground where we walk, how it affects our relationships. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. So God is one. Love him. Love him. Love him back. God is love. Love him back. We have a God who knows us, who's intimately involved with us. Three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. One God. In the Old Testament, the most sacred name for God is Yahweh. Yahweh. Because it's so sacred, Yahweh is never used in Scripture to refer to any other pagan god, false god. Whenever it's talking about the one true God, you know what word is used? Yahweh. And it's never a word that's used to talk about a false god. It's always used for only the one true God. It's used 6,823 times in the Old Testament. It's not something that we think, oh, it's just a couple. No, it's throughout the Old Testament. Yahweh, Yahweh. The third commandment warns us not to use the Lord's name in vain. With punishment of what? Death. And what's that referring to? Don't call another God. Because if we don't worship the one true God, eternity with God will not be ours for eternity. We'll be separated from God throughout eternity. We won't experience heaven with God. The ancient Hebrew Bible had only consonants, so the name of God was written YHWH, Yahweh. And when your Bible has the word Lord, L-O-R-D, all in capital letters, when you read that in your modern day Bible, in all capital letters, it's the personal name God. You can know that that's the way that it's referring to Yahweh. So it's amazing to consider how he reveals himself to his people and how he reveals himself to us in Exodus 34. In verses 6 and 7, it says, "The Lord, the Lord." I always, anytime God wants your attention to really be focused, he tends to repeat, "The Lord, the Lord." No doubt of what we're talking about. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. Guys, this says some amazing things about our Trinitarian God. This says some amazing things. Yahweh begins by telling Moses and us that what? He's a person. He's not a it. He's a person. He has a name. He wants to connect. He wants us to know him. He wants to be known by us. And he desires to be in relationship with us. He has a name. Not only that, he's compassionate with those who suffer. We need to be praying for this woman for full recovery. As if there's an opportunity for this woman who was shot in our community, let's see if they have any needs. Let's go to them, not wait for people to come to us. Why? Because we want to follow the example of our Lord and God. He's a compassionate God. It says he's slow to anger, abounding in love. He's compassionate and gracious. He works on our behalf. He delights in serving those that he's made. Think of the humility that's required to serve those you've created. Think of the love that is given by God to us. As there's no room for feeling too uppity about ourselves. There's no room for pride. We are created by a loving God. And that God of all creation continues to serve us, continues to reach out in love, in compassion. He works on our behalf. He delights in serving us. He's slow to anger. Think about that. This God is slow to anger. He's unlike the Greek and Roman gods, isn't he? Where the false gods that when people come up with what would a lot of gods alike be? Well, they make gods. People, when they create gods, they make gods in man's image. And if you look at the Greek and Roman gods, man, they are quick to anger, quick to emotion, quick to respond in punishment. Very human-like in the sinful, fallen sense. But God is slow to anger. He's loving. He's forgiving. God is holy and good so that we are without excuse. Guys, we get to see who he is by what he does. And this is quite a revelation of our God. It's an incredible revelation because the Lord gave it in context of Israel's unbelievable betrayal of sin when they worshiped the golden calf. That's what the scripture is in response to. The people are told to wait patiently as Moses goes and hears from God. And while he's away, what happens? They start worshiping what? This golden statue, the golden calf. Man. Why would you worship a golden cow? Any thoughts? One that you made. Thank you. They started hearing what the community was saying was true. Rather than being an influence on the community, they started being influenced by those around them. Guys, we are called to go in the world but not be of the world. And I want to encourage you, with Christ in you, we can go into community and not be tainted because God is in us. We don't have to fear. I know that's often a big fear of man, if I reach out, I know my own weaknesses. Well, you need to be wise, yes. The alcoholic should not witness in the bar. It's not the right place, right? We need to be wise. But we don't have to live in fear. And most of all, we don't have to live in fear of connecting with people who aren't believers that somehow, no, in Christ, we can bring the gospel to them. But the people of God, they started worshiping this golden calf. And boy, I tell you, The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. Isaiah 45, 5 and 6 says this, there is one God. There is one God. I am the Lord, and there is one, no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, people may know there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Looking at this week, this past week,
How have we done? How have you done? How have I done? Personally, let's reflect of living out the truth that there is no other God. How have I done, how have we done of spending our time wisely? I've wasted too much time this week. How are we doing? Guys, we live in a world, we are surrounded by electronics, by things that'll lead us into self-focus. And it's not just kids. I mean, adults and kids spending time on Facebook and Twitter and I forget all... I don't know the names of all of them, but all that new technology stuff. My son gives me a hard time because I don't know the names of everything. Man, that can suck us in, can it? And what is that? What can that easily become? Worship. False worship. You shall have no other gods before me. Guys, later this year, we're going to be doing a series, which is spiritual disciplines. And it's going to be looking at different spiritual disciplines. And one of the spiritual disciplines is fasting. And just be praying and preparing your minds for it. It's a little bit down the road. But one of the ways I want us to also be challenged is not just fasting of food, but having times where we fast from electronics. Having times where the things that occupy our minds and our time, man, we need to spend less time there. Less time worshiping at false altars. Because checking something, doing things for work, that's one thing. Being caught up and drawn in. And, man, people can be brutal on all that technology. My goodness. I was, one of the things that as I come in the office and I click on the internet and it gives these... The news comes on and different things, and it kind of flashes by all the top stories. And I spend about just a few moments as these stories go by, and my goodness, everybody's angry. Everybody's got... We focus on these smaller things. Why? We're not worshiping God. When we don't have our hearts and minds focused on He is the one true God, all the arguments and all the things to be offended by of this world become our heart's desire. Guys, that's false worship. When we need to speak out, and it's not standing up for truth, but it's standing against in anger and bitterness and boiling up inside. We need to respond differently than the world. I am the Lord, and there is no other. No other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you. Because He is who He says He is, we can find strength. We can find purpose. We can know truth. And we can be set free for what He has for us. Though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, people may know that there is none besides me. I am the Lord. There is no other. There's no other. No other. If that's true, if there's no other God, I want to ask this question of each person here. Where is your false worship? Because I know what it is for me. I've got a few areas that I struggle with of false worship. But I want you to be honest before God. I want you to really look at what he's asking of you and stating who he is. By stating who he is, there is no other God. What areas of your life do you need to say, you know what? As for many of you, it's going to be, and this is an area that affects all of us at different times in our lives, but your worship will be your brokenness. Your worship will be your brokenness. You will worship the brokenness within you that has become such a part of you, it becomes identity, a false identity. What happens in this world when, if you get your identity stolen, what happens to your credit? What happens to your life? It goes all bad quick, right? All of a sudden, you've got all these bills, all these false identity brings tragedy. It's the same spiritually, guys. A false identity in becoming, taking the hurt of someone's sin against us, taking that hurt and letting that now define me, that can become what we worship. I am the Lord, there is no other. Because God is who he says he is, and what do we know about how God responds to sin? He deals with it, doesn't he? And in relationship through dealing with it, what takes place? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. So I want to ask this. You've heard me ask this question before in different ways, at different times. But I hadn't planned on sharing this part, but I feel the Holy Spirit is leading me. Who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to forgive? There is no other God. Who do you need to forgive? What area of false identity are you holding on to? What area, what person needs to be forgiven? I am the Lord, and there is no other. Guys, I want to encourage you. This is the third week I've had Ephesians 1 ready to go through. For time's sake, we don't have time to get to it for the third week in a row. It's really good scripture. It's not getting left because it's not worthy to go through. But guess what? Guess what's happening starting the week after Easter? We're going through Ephesians, right? So Jim, you're going to have to take my back on this because I tell you, unbelievable scripture. Unbelievable truth, powerful truth. The Sunday after Easter at 9:30, just an opportunity for us to come in and the teaching, and a lot of time is going to be spent on going through Ephesians. But I want to end with this. There is one God. Hear, O Israel, Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Guys, that's what we're called to, isn't it? So I want today for us to make a choice. We're going to choose to forgive and love. Why? Because we serve one God who provided a way in the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He has given us the opportunity because of our relationship with one God, the Father, the Son, who died on the cross for sin, so that the sins of others against us and our sins against others can be forgiven. He not only died for the sins, he rose and conquered death and sin. And the Holy Spirit, God himself, has been given to us as a counselor to lead us into the truth, to not be taken in by false identity, to not allow the enemy just to wreak havoc in our lives because of this unforgiveness, because of this brokenness. As brokenness causes us to break others. If we don't allow God to be God in our lives and for our false identity to be put down, that's not enough. And then take up our true identity in Christ. So that even if things don't change with the person, our hearts and minds are changed. And we're no longer held captive and bound to the slavery of sin. God wants us to be set free and to not be captives to sin. It's for freedom that Christ set us free. I want you to, if you're not ready to forgive that person today, don't go to sleep until you deal with it. If you have to, hit it tonight before your head hits the pillow or while it's on the pillow. Don't let the sun go down on your anger and your bitterness and your brokenness. Is it a spouse? Is it a friend? Is it a frenemy? Is it someone who's just had your number since you've known them? And it wreaks havoc? And it tries to bring in that old false identity? I want to end with this. The most profound thing I think I can say. God loves you. God is love. Receive him. Do you know him? Intimately and personally. Let's close in prayer. God, we've looked at you are three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Each person, not an it, but a person. Each one, fully God. And there is one God. Father, we have to admit, we have to come to this in faith because we can't fully understand the Trinity. And yet, Lord, we know that your scripture declares it to be true. So, Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you that we can understand so much. And, Lord, we thank you that there is mystery because it means you are greater than us. Your understanding is greater. Our knowledge comes from you. So, Father, I just pray that if there's anyone here who is living in the false identity of pain and brokenness and bitterness, of anger and hate, Lord, that there would be incredible healing today. Lord, I pray that the enemy would be bound from here. Lord, that there would be a spiritual covering from your Holy Spirit, Lord, that would cover this place. and there would be healing of your people here. And Lord, we also pray that if there's anyone here who doesn't know you, anyone hearing this who doesn't yet know you, Lord, and is living in that brokenness, that they would be healed by faith in Jesus Christ. Our Lord. Father, we believe. And we know that your word says, if we believe, we will be saved. So we trust you. We don't need anything else but you. Father, thank you for this study. I just pray that the truths of three persons, one God, one holy, perfect God, Lord, that you would use these truths to change us, to transform us, so that, Lord, we would experience new life in you. Lord, that we wouldn't be waiting just for the time when death comes and we're taken to be with you, but we would experience you in a new way here and now. That we would experience your kingdom in part here and now. So, Father, we trust you. We trust your word. We thank you that you love us so much that you desire to be in relationship with us and you communicate to us. And one of the ways is through your word. We receive it, we hold on to it, we know it's your truth. Father, we love you back. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.